Well, who's ready to go? To Germany, I mean. Or around the world, wherever God leads you. I appreciate the commitment of Calvary over all the years to raise up people who will go and say yes to God. We're going to look at a scripture this morning in which someone said yes to God. And that's the challenge I want you to have in your mind as you think this morning. Are you ready to say yes to God in what he would say to you? It's summertime, so there are a lot of people traveling. And if you're here for the first time visiting, I met a number of you this morning. So glad you're here. There's a welcome center through these doors and into the cafe. We'd love to meet you there and find out more about Calvary, if you will. In the next service, there will be 20 members of the, maybe 30 members of the Wickler family who are going to worship together here because they are celebrating an event that's going to happen later in the summer for them. The Wicklers have been at Calvary forever. They are celebrating, each of them, Norm and Maggie, their 95th birthday in August and their 75th wedding anniversary this summer. So, how cool is that? So they'll be around, and you might want to wish them happiness and God's love and grace to them as they come. You're probably not that far along, but we're going to move along in our study through the Old Testament, in which our goal is that we ourselves would grow in faith as we look at the things that were written in the Old Testament, which the New Testament says these Old Testament accounts were written for our instruction so that by believing them and reading them and meditating on them, you would have hope. Hope is in short supply. People don't have an anchored hope that when life gets hard or difficult, they're anchored in what is real, what is true, what God has said. All of these stories that we've been in the Old Testament are designed to reveal the plan of God through history and to build our faith for today. You are a part of history in this moment where God is working around you, and I pray that you yourself will grow in faith. I want to give you should have made a slide, but I didn't. But if you have never referenced BibleProject.com, I would commend that to you as an excellent resource to make your way around some of the complexities of the Bible story. BibleProject.com has videos on each of the books of the Bible, and it's very insightful to see and very creative to understand how the flow of the Bible moves. Today, having already looked at Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, and last week Moses, who are we going to look at today? Joshua, the next Moses, the successor to Moses. And in our study through the Old Testament, we have already seen that God raised up Joseph, sent him to Egypt, so he was there as a leader, and he provided for the children of Israel who moved down to Egypt. 400 years passed, and God raised up Moses to deliver the Israelites from Egypt and bringing them into the promised land. God gave to Moses the law, the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai, and they wandered around the wilderness, and at the end of Deuteronomy, they are encamped outside the land, and a transition is going to come from Moses to Joshua, and that is our glimpse this morning. But before we get to the book of Joshua, we learn something about Joshua in the lifespan of Moses. And he shows up in Moses' life in an incident that's important for us, especially if you're not 95. If you're a young person here, what I want to take you to first in particular is an episode in the life of Joshua before he was anointed as the deliverer of Egypt, or the one who would lead the nation across the Jordan into conquest of the land. Moses isn't going to be allowed to go in, but Joshua is. But what about this man, Joshua? There is an incident in his life, and to know the man, we have to see him as one of the men that Moses put his finger to and said, I want you to go and do a project. And for us to look at that, I want you to open your Bibles with me to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, that's on page 142 in the Bible in front of you, Numbers 13. And what I want to do is I want to trace a little bit of the story and sort of pick out things that will help us for how we live today. So Moses is still leading, and he's on the brink of entering into the land, though he's not going to be allowed to go in. And in Numbers chapter 13, we begin to read that the Lord spoke to Moses saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I'm going to giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, and all the men who were heads of the people of Israel. So while Moses is still alive, he identifies 12 leaders of Israel from the 12 tribes, and he says, I want you to go in and spy out the land that God promised to us, see what it's like. And all their names are there. I won't read them all for my benefit and yours. But in verse 6, you'll see the name Caleb. And verse 8, you'll see the name Hoshea, son of Nun, whom in verse 16 is clarified. Moses called Hoshea, son of Nun, Joshua. So there are 12 spies who are going to go into the land of Canaan. They're going to check out the land. Moses sent them in to spy out to see whether the people who dwell in the land are strong or they're weak, whether they live in tents or whether they live in fortified cities, whether the land is good or bad, whether they're rich or poor, there are trees in it, is there any fruit? And he's going to send these 12 spies in. So they went in and spied out the land, verse 21 says. And at the end of 40 days, verse 25, these 12 spies returned. And they came to Moses and Aaron, verse 26, and all the congregation of the people of Israel from the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and they showed them the fruit of the land, which, by the way, were these huge clusters that they had to carry on a pole between two people. There was so much fruit in the land, they saw the land to be so good. Verse 27, and they told them, we came to the land to which you sent us. It flows with milk and honey. Very fruitful. And this is its fruit. And that's a good report. But verse 28 says, however, the people who dwell in the land are strong and they're very large. And the descendants of Anak are there, and the Amalekites, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites. They're all there. And so you have 12 people who are going into the land. And some of them say, the land is beautiful, it's full of great fruit. And some of them say, oh, but the people in there, they're very big. And there's very many of them. And if I give you those names, you know they're not the most hospitable people. And in verse 30 on the screen, Caleb quieted the people. And that's because when the people heard that the enemies in the land were so fierce, they were disquieted. But Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it. And you see in Caleb, who is throughout this text going to be associated with Joshua, and together Caleb and Joshua are going to be the two of the 12 spies who say this is going to be a good land. As you read on in the verses that follow, but the other men who had gone up says, we're not able to go against those people. They're stronger than we are. And they brought a bad report. And people up there, they devour the inhabitants. They're very tall. And we're like grasshoppers around them. So you see this split between those 12 spies that 10 said no and 2 said go. And suddenly Joshua is among the minority report who sang with Caleb, we can go into this land and we can take it over. God will help us. Chapter 14, verse 1, the congregation raised a loud cry and the people wept, and all the people grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And they said, would that we would have died in Egypt, or that we would have died in the wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us into this land to die by the sword? Our little ones will become prey. Were it not better for us to go back to Egypt? And they said to one another, let's choose a different leader and go back to Egypt. Hey, this is a leadership crisis right in this moment. The people are all about rebelling. And then in verse 5 of chapter Numbers 14, Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the people of Israel. And here they are, Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of the people of Israel, the land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. Why was it a good land? Because it's the land that God said he would give to his people. And he said that it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. And suddenly in this moment, there is a great conflict among the people of Israel, that there are many who say no and they're grumbling. They're naysayers. And there's two there who are saying, no, we should definitely go into that land. Verse 8 and 9 of Numbers 14. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they're bread for us. Their protection is removed, and the Lord will do with us. Do not fear them. Get the tension? Here's verse 10. Then all the congregation said, stone them with stones. What a congregation. You're not like that, right? The whole congregation wants to kill Joshua and Caleb, Moses and Aaron, get new leadership, and get back to Egypt. But let's read the last line together. The glory of the Lord appeared in the tent of meeting to all the people of Israel. God came down in the very moment that there was this kind of tension there, and God showed up. And when he showed up in this place, he showed up to say, I am with Joshua, I'm with Caleb, I'm with Moses, and I'm with Aaron, and this is my plan for my people, the plan that I promised to do. I will bring you into the land. It will be flowing with milk and honey. I will give you victory over this. I'm showing you this glimpse of Joshua at a young age, before he succeeds Moses, for a couple of reasons. Moses is early in his life, but he has faith in this moment to trust in God in this place. He is in the minority. He's in the minority when all of the pressure around him is saying to him, we'll never do it. What is it about Joshua and Caleb that come back from this visit into the land and say, surely this is what God wants for us? I just want you to see here that it is in the early years that many of us, if you're a young person, when you go through testing in your early years, those are the times that you are growing as a follower of God and of Christ, that God is forging within you a resolute kind of faith that will be for the greater challenges later in your life. I want you to think of Joshua as being one of two among the 12 who said yes to God when everybody else was saying no. You're going to have opportunities in your life to say yes to God when everybody else is saying no to God. What is it that will help you exactly say yes to God? What small steps will you take today to build your own faith in that moment and say to God, yes, I trust you in this moment? This is how Joshua is being prepared for what's ahead for him. Well, when the glory of the Lord showed up in the tent of meeting, it was to set up God bringing a sense of judgment to those who did not believe him. And you can read about that in that chapter. But at the end of chapter 14, verse 38, it says, of those men who went to spy out the land, only Joshua and Caleb entered the land. All the other 10 didn't make it into the land. All the grumblers never saw the promised land. We should close the service right there. Grumblers never prosper. So that's the way we meet this Joseph. The earliest tests of his life prepared him for the leadership succession, which we find about now in Deuteronomy chapter 31. So turn right in your Bible and let's see how Moses is going to give way to Joshua. In the right in your Bible, on page 204 in the Bible that's with you there in the seat, Deuteronomy chapter 31, we read the story then that Moses is going to die. He's not going to enter into the promised land. He's wandered with the people for 40 years, and he's been through so much, but because of his own actions, he will not see the promised land. Joshua will take his place. And I want to think this morning, appropriately for our situation, we're thinking about a succession in leadership. And we're going to see some of the lessons that are learned here. So in chapter 31 of Deuteronomy, we learn that Joshua is going to go in and Moses is not. And when God revealed that to Moses in verse 14 of chapter 31, the Lord said to Moses, behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tent of meeting that I may commission him. God is going to put his hand on Joshua, though Moses will too. And Moses and Joshua went in and presented themselves in the tent of meeting. And the Lord appeared in the tent in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood over the entrance of the tent. And you just get this picture that all of Israel is watching, that when they go into this tent, God comes down and he's over the tent meeting with the two of them. And he's setting up some of the opportunity to commission Joshua. So verse 23 says, and the Lord commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, and said to him, be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to them. And everybody, I will be with you. I will be with you. And it is this moment that God is transferring the leadership of the whole nation of Israel from Moses to Joshua. And the only underlying promise that the mission of God to deliver his people from Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land is that he's going to be with them and he's going to keep his word. And the question is going to be, do you believe God? By faith, will you do that? Now, some saw only the obstacles and said, we'll never get in. And two of them saw the promise of God that he's going to lead us into this land and it's going to be good for us. Moses had been training up Joshua in his life. At the end of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 9, we read this. Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him. So the people of Israel obeyed him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. I love this picture because it is Moses putting his hands on Joshua, but all of the people of Israel seeing that Joshua was the successor to Moses, but God had given the law to Moses. And so they obeyed the law that God gave Moses, even though Joshua was the new leader. He was full of the spirit of wisdom, and God was with him. Now, this transition of leadership is amazing because the work is the same. The promises are the same. The word of God is the same to Moses and to Joshua, but the leader changes. And the people have to make a decision. Am I going to listen to God and follow him, even though there's a transition of leadership? It's a beautiful picture. And now we come to Joshua chapter 1, and I'll begin my sermon. I can't go through the whole book of Joshua, but there are several highlights that are worth noting about the way in which Joshua is a new Moses. And he's going to be God's spokesperson, and God's going to encourage him. And the short story is they go into that land that everybody dreaded, that was filled with all the Hittites and Jebusites and Canaanites and Hivites and Boulderites. They were all there. And they went into the land, and God gave them success in the conquest over that land, as we'll see. But in Joshua chapter 1, God repeats that Moses is going to die, and God says to Joshua, no one will stand before you. And in verse 7, a very famous verse, God says to Joshua, only you be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all that the law of Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn to it from the right or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, and you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. That is not unlike what God would say to us as we walk with him today. Only be strong and courageous. Why? I'm with you. And while you're going through your experience of living by faith in the world we live in 2024, with the uncertainty all around our world, can't you just hear all the people say, but the world is falling apart. There are wars everywhere. The social condition of our world is terrible. How will we live? Oh, no. What if God said, I have you in this place by my will, for my glory, and I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. I think it's easy to transfer and listen, what might God say to us in our place? I'm certain he would say, be careful to do according to all that is in my word. Don't you? I'm certain that he would say, you should be vigilant to be obedient to God in the small things, in the little things, in the parts of your early life that you're walking with God. Be careful to be obedient to him today, so that as you grow up through life, you have built for yourself a strong foundation of living by faith in joyful compliance to everything that God has said, so that when you face the giants in the land, you're more ready. He says, don't turn to the right or to the left. Don't compromise. Don't cut corners. Don't shave off something that you know God says to you. Be careful. Don't turn left or right. Meditate on it. Let it be your reflection. Let it be in your mind. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God how you can apply his word and his truth to your life, that you would live by faith today without compromise, in total obedience. And God tells Joshua, that will make your way prosperous. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. The Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Do you have a big issue in your life that is troubling you? Might God say to you, I got you. I'm sovereign. Be courageous. I don't know what the outcome will be for you, but I know that God is with you wherever you go. And he would say, trust me, walk by faith. This is as true for us today as it was for Joshua. His task was huge. The rest of the book of Joshua actually describes the stories again and again of going into conquest, conquering cities, overcoming the sin of those in Israel who failed to live up to what God said. And eventually they go into the land and they take it over. But if Israel is going to succeed in the conquest of the land under the leadership of Joshua, it's going to require faith and obedience to all that God said. In order for us to experience that, it's not dissimilar. Now, in Joshua 21, I'll tell you the end of the story and how good it is. Joshua 21, verse 43. After a lot of adventure in the intervening chapters, the Lord gave to Israel all the land that he swore to give their fathers. Are you surprised? No. Because God said he would, and he did. And they took possession of it, and they settled there, and the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their fathers. None of their enemies had withstood them, for the Lord had given them all the enemies into their hands. I love this verse. Not one word of all the good promises that the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Everybody said. God keeps his word. It's in there that Joshua, I mean, the intervening chapters, honestly, from 1 to 21 are intense. And there's battle. But I love the way this summarizes, it brings them into rest. Now, for those of you who can step back and look at the story as we've told it all along, say, what are we looking at these Old Testaments? How do they point forward? Moses led them out of captivity. Joshua brings them into the promised land. And they enter into what? Rest. That's a hyperlink that Jesus Christ came down, delivered us from our sins, and brings us into rest with God. It's a picture. It's a foreshadowing. These things are written for our instruction. Our ultimate rest is not that we don't have any conflict in our life. Our ultimate rest is that we are everybody in Christ. And this is sort of the picture forward that God always keeps his word. The book of Joshua ends in chapter 24 with this call. They're settled in the land. The land's distributed. All the tribes get their allocation of land and they're settling in. And now the nation Israel is going to be settled in this land that God prepared for them. And in the closing commission of Joshua to the people of Israel as the book comes to a close in chapter 24, Joshua says to the people what we always have to hear from God. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. It's like the final charge of his life. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Is there anything that you have to get rid of to live in the land that God promised to you, that you would live in prosperity of living in God's will? He said, yeah, get rid of the gods that you love more than Yahweh. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, well, choose this day who it is you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a great text. This is the way it ends. We're going to serve the Lord in what we do. And Joshua creates a picture for us of the way in which God passes on his work from one leader to another. A number of weeks ago, I shared the way God's worked with succession in the Bible, and we looked at several of them, this one being in it. Quite contemporarily, we are in the midst of a succession at Calvary, and we're transitioning leadership. And I said a few weeks ago when I preached on this, I don't mean in any way to suggest that the succession that's happening here is as consequential as the one we looked at this morning between Moses and Joshua. You with me, right? But it's not inconsequential that successions happen in the work of God in a way that help continue the work, because the work stays the same, the word of God stays the same, the presence of God and his people stay the same, and the leader changes. And we want that to happen. And it has happened in our church in a way that was absolutely beautiful. So much so that Monday night, we had an outstanding meeting together as a church in a transition of leadership here at Calvary. And if you weren't able to be at the meeting Monday night, we have a brief video of some of the highlights from Monday night that I want to show to you now. The fuller edition will be online on the website, but I just want you to rejoice in the succession that has happened at Calvary.
Good evening. Thank you all very much for joining us in this very important family meeting on a rainy night. The motion before us is the Elder Board nominates Thomas Milburn to be senior pastor of Calvary Bible Church effective August 1st. Something monumental happened in the life of our church. The members of Calvary Bible Church voted 304-0. To call Thomas Milburn as the next senior pastor of Calvary Bible Church. Isn't that wonderful?
I want to say to you and to the elders and to the congregation how exemplary these last few months have been as a fellowship together to travel through a succession experience as beautifully as what we have just experienced together, and then to have a unanimous vote. I don't know if you've ever been a part of other churches, but what just happened is a rare thing, and you helped make that happen. So thank you. It's awesome. The church really doesn't belong to us, even though it's so important to us. It is the church of God, and it's the church of God because he purchased it with his blood. We're gathered together because we're all redeemed by Jesus Christ. And everybody said, prayer is always the work that leads the most important things that get accomplished. I'm saying that to Thomas, but you're all listening, aren't you? Prayer is the work for us as we keep doing God's will. Be yourself, wear your own shoes. Be in the Word and tell it to us, and let the work of prayer keep you. I love you, and pray for God's blessing on you. I'm going to be proud to call you my pastor.
We, the congregation, affirm our shared commitment to Jesus Christ, the Lord of the Church, and to his mission for Calvary. We pledge our support, encouragement, and prayer that all of God's purposes will be accomplished for his glory.
Lord, we humbly and confidently come before you to thank you for leading and guiding Calvary Bible Church for 136 years. We are your church, and we are your people, and we praise you and worship you tonight in spirit and in truth. And tonight, we once again submit ourselves as one church under your leadership, Lord Jesus, knowing that you have a great plan for Calvary Bible Church.
God is good all the time. It is God's goodness and kindness that has marked out my life. Not because it has been absent of struggle or hardship or grief, but that it is marked by his faithfulness. God is so faithful. And this is what I would simply charge all of us with. It's rather simple. He says in the next very first verse, only for the people who are listening that he's going to pray for, only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. And I think that would be the charge of Calvary, is that we as a congregation would do two things: fear God and faithfully serve him. That's it. In holy fear and faithful service, we continue to make Jesus Christ the centerpiece of everything that we are doing. For he is the true head of this church, and we are simply under shepherds. And I am humbled to be allowed to be a shepherd to care for the flock of Calvary, to help prepare you, to protect us, to preach, and to pray. I thank you for that invitation, and I say yes.
That's our story, but we trust God in it. And the mission stays the same, God's word stays the same, his presence stays the same, his power stays the same. And with Joshua, I just say to you, are you with us? Choose you this day who you will serve. Will you continue on the work of Calvary? I pray that we will, and that our best days will be ahead. Let's stand together. Let's sing the doxology as we close out today. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. May the love of God and the grace of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the joy of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.